Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, this morning to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. My heart has been blessed by being here today. And I don't know exactly why the Lord is leading me the way that he is today. I just know that he's leading me about 8:15 this morning, something like that. The Lord gave me a thought out of the book of Ruth, and I love the book of Ruth. I've preached several times out of the book of Ruth. It's a wonderful book. But there's a thought here that I believe is, I believe will help us in this day and hour that we live in. For the sake of time, let's just read part of the chapter and then we'll be in a lot of it when we go through the message today. If you're able, stand with me in reverence to the Word of God. Thank you, each one that's come today, our folks that are visiting, some friends that we've had for years and years, and others that we may not know, but we would love to know. We just thank you for being here today. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. I want to stop right there and pray for a moment. You can be seated. Please pray with us. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. And God, it's always, Lord, helpful. And Lord, we just thank you that the Word of God is always true. And Lord, there's a truth here before us today that I don't know exactly who it's for. And it may not be for one today, but they may need it tomorrow or next week or next year. Some may need it today. God, I know that you're on time every time. And I pray, Father, today that you would clothe us in our calling. Speak to the heart of that one, our Father, that's lost and undone. Speak to the heart of that one, Father, that's fixing to make a decision in life, Lord, that will be costly. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless us together. Thank you for these children, Lord, for the verses that we've heard, for the singing, and Lord, for the time that we've been able to spend with them. And Lord, what a blessing it is. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I want to look at the book of Ruth, chapter 1, in a way really that I've never looked at it before, as far as I know, in my life. And if I was going to title the message today, this is what I would call the message: to stay or not to stay. Here's a man that's in Bethlehem, Judah. A famine comes, and he's got to make a decision now, Brother Rose. Am I going to stay in Bethlehem, Judah, where there's a famine, the bread is scarce, or am I going to go down to Moab, where they got plenty of bread? Now let me just say this morning. In going down to Moab, he was going against God's will. God didn't intend for his children. Moab, the Bible said, was God's washpot. It was not a place of blessing. It was a place of wickedness and a place not of cleanliness, but a place of filthiness. And so... Elimelech had to make a decision. Am I going to go or am I going to stay? I began to think about, I'm just introducing the message right now, and I got to be careful because, man, this is big in my heart, and I want to get it across. But You know, let's think about some things. This morning, there are people in their marriage, and they're thinking, am I going to go or am I going to stay? This morning, there are people, listen to me carefully, young people in a home, 17, 18, 19 years old. Am I going to go or am I going to stay? Am I telling the truth or not? I'm reminded of a young lady that said to her father, I'm 18. And made the decision to go. And been paying the price for that decision ever since. Let me tell you something about these decisions. They come with a price tag. Now I'm telling you that God, listen to me carefully, God can lead a young person out into the workforce and out into the world. And, you know, I'm not interested in my son. I wondered sometimes if he was going to be 30 years old before he left out. But I'm not interested in that, you know. But I'm saying, listen, is it God doing the leading? Here in the Bible, God was not leading Elimelech. Are you listening to me? There's a price to be paid. You know, I believe, listen to me carefully, very carefully, I believe there comes a time when God leads a pastor. He gets in a place, am I going to go or am I going to stay? I believe God leads a family. They get to a place in a church, am I going to go or am I going to stay? But I'm going to tell you something right now, pastor better not let his flesh get in the way. And that family better not let their flesh get in the way. They better be praying like they've never prayed before, and they better be seeking the face of God like they've never sought him before. And let me just say this too. It will be reflected down the road. When God's leading, it will be reflected in blessing. And here, it was reflected that the decision wasn't right because of what happened in the life of Elimelech and Mahlon. And Chilion. I want to give you four things this morning, and I'm going to try to be as brief as I possibly can. But I think, let me just say this. This is free of charge. It just came to my mind. I can't wait to say something like this. Way back before the election, there was a whole lot of that Hollywood crowd said that if our president was elected, they were going to leave the country. They're still here. You know what I told my wife when I heard that? I said, as long as the ticket's one way, I'll help buy it. Say amen. This country's a wonderful country. And I want to stay in America if God let me. Amen. Let me give you some things about what God's put in my heart. First of all, there's the element of testing. The famine had come. Let me say this about marriage. Let me say this about raising children. Let me say this about the church life. There are going to be seasons. There are going to be seasons in a church, are you listening to me, where the blessings are falling left and right, and then there's going to be seasons kind of dry. How many knows I'm telling it right? It ain't all mountain, and thank God it ain't all valley. And so here's a man that made a decision in the time of famine. We got to get out of here. Maybe his motive was right. Maybe he thought, I need to take care of my family. I can understand that. But I'll tell you something right now. Something else is evident to me in this text. The Bible said that God made the man the head of the house. And if you'll look at this text, beloved, it was the men that paid the price for the leadership in their home. Am I right or am I wrong? And so there was a time, there's the element of testing. There'll be times when our faith is tested. There'll be times when our fellowship is tested. There'll be time when our family is tested. Somebody help me. And beloved, listen, when the test comes, somebody said it does, what it reveals really is what we are. test will come. The test will come in a church. The test will come in a home. The test will come in a marriage. The test will come in friendships. And when the test comes, beloved, listen, we need to have our eyes on the Lord and we need to be seeking Him. Because I tell you what God does with the test, He makes someone better as a result of it. When our faith is tried, when our family is tried, the devil's trying to tear it apart and God's trying to make it stronger. Amen. Same goes in the church. There's the element of testing. Then there's the element of time. I won't spend a lot of time here, but let me just give you three little phrases right here. Elimelech makes this decision, but the Bible said he went there to sojourn. What that means is it's just an indefinite, small period of time. In other words, we're just going down there, but honey, we won't be long. And then the Word of God uses this phrase. If you look at it in verse number 2, in verse number 1, a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. In verse number 2, the Word of God said in the last few words there, and continued there. Now, wait a minute. How many's ever heard somebody make a statement like this? Boy, if you ever get out of church, it's easy to stay out. Let me tell you something about fellowship with God. If you ever get out of fellowship with God, you didn't mean to stay there long. You know, I'm just going to do this. This ain't going to take too long. It ain't going to take too many days, too many weeks, or certainly not too many years. The Word of God uses the phrase, number one, they sojourned. Number two, they continued there. And then number three, you look down with me, if you will, at verse number 4, and they took them wives of the women of Moab, which they weren't supposed to do, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelled there, here's what the Word of God said, about 10 years. Amen. Beloved, I don't know about you, but 10 years right now in my life is more than one-sixth of my life. Even in Brother Joe's life, it would be one-ninth of his life. In other words, it's not anything to sneeze at. 10 years gone. Didn't intend it. There's an element of testing. There's the element of time to look at. Do I stay or do I not stay? Or another way to say it is, do I go? To stay or not to stay? Beloved, I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a lot at stake. I'm not going to name names, but I've had several people in this church. This church has been through some trying times. I've had several people tell me, I looked over at my wife and said, honey, we ain't going nowhere. This is our church, and we're here. I'm not saying, beloved, listen, that everybody that leaves a church leaves out of the will of God. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if they leave in the will of God, follow them. There'll be blessings on their life. If they stay in the will of God, there'll be blessings on their life. Beloved friend, there's the element of testing. There's the element of time. Then there's the element of turning. You say, preacher, what happened? Well, Elimelech died. Mahlon died. However you say his name, Chilion, I've heard it said that way. Chilion, that sounds more like going a hot dog. However you say it, beloved, listen, they all three died. They died in Moab. Now comes the time for Naomi. What am I going to do? Notice what the Bible said in verse number 6. The Bible said, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people. Glory to God. If you want a church to be strong, you want a family to be strong, you want your relationship
my friend, with your spouse and with your friends to be strong. Beloved, it's be because God visits with that family. God visits with that church. She heard. You know what she said? I'm going to return. Oh, hallelujah, this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I serve a God that allows you to turn around when you're going in the wrong direction and go in the right direction. The Bible said here, she heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people. And not only did she hear, but she heeded. In verse number 7, the Bible said, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Glory to God. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you've ever been out of fellowship with God, the happiest day in your life is when you said, I'm going home. Thank God that prodigal son got out there with the pigs, and the Bible said he came to himself. He said, I will arise and go to my father's house. The servants have it better over there than what I've got over here in this far country. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you ever get out of the will of God as far as in the wrong place. By the way, beloved, that goes with jobs too. Do I stay in my job or do I leave my job? Every job's not for everybody. When I say the word job, I think of a furniture factory in Marion, Virginia. I worked there 1 week, 2 days, till lunchtime the third day. Told my aunt that I rode back and forth to work with. I said, give me the keys to that Volkswagen. She said, where are you going? I said, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going out of here. I'll be back at quitting time to pick you up. Couldn't stand it. Assembly line work. Piece of furniture on a conveyor belt coming down through there. They started me out spraying knots. They probably looked at what was on my shoulder and figured that's what I'd be the best at. Now I'm about to go crazy with two of them. I was real good at spraying knots, so they started me spraying top coat. Oh, now you're really in the stuff. Here comes that piece of furniture down there. If you could just imagine this. It's 1 o'clock. Here comes the next one. You finish up with it. It's 1:05. I know I'm only 58, and the reason I look like I'm 78 is that week in that furniture factory. I promise you. Amen. To leave or not to leave? To stay or not to stay? I told my boss I was quitting. He followed me to the car. He said, I'll give you your dime raise now. Supposed to get a dime raise in 90 days. He was going to give it to me in 1.5 weeks. You say you're bragging? No. I'm just telling you I didn't fit in that place. I believe one of the best things that we can understand in life is in the will of God, you'll fit where God puts you. Here is a man and his two sons and their wives that did not fit in Moab. And so they're going back to the house of bread, back to Bethlehem, Judah. There's the element of turning. She heard, she heeded, but then she had compassion. Look at verse number 8. The word of God said, and Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them and lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. I'm too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, I have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? She said, it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Here's what Naomi's thinking. She's having compassion on these two girls. She's thinking, they're from Moab, and they are just not going to fit in Bethlehem, Judah. Be better off for them to go home to their house, go home to their gods, little g, plural, than to go with me to the house of bread, to the God of heaven. Because she's thinking they just won't fit. Let me just say something to you this morning. Listen to me carefully. Very, very carefully right here. There's a picture that's being painted in the book of Ruth. A picture that there's hope for a Gentile. Ruth is a Gentile. You and I, one time, beloved, we're still Gentiles, but according to the Bible, the Gentiles were looked on like dogs. Aren't you glad? Thank God there was a time when it looked like we wouldn't fit in the family of God, but along come Jesus and the cross of Calvary and the blood of Christ washed our sin away and fit us. The Word of God talked about us being fit together in the house of God. So Naomi really has compassion. She's saying, girls, just go on back. And there's two different reactions going on here. I want to see the element of truth. This is the last thing. The Word of God said they lifted up their voice. They wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Look at it, little g with an S on the end of it. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Now, wait a minute. Both of them had the same opportunity. Both of them kissed their mother-in-law. I wrote something down this morning that the Lord spoke to my heart about. Listen to me carefully. Look at Judas and Orpah. Their lips were close enough to kiss the blessing, but their heart was far away enough to miss the blessing. Orpah kissed Naomi and went back to her little G-O-D-S's. Judas kissed the Savior of the world. Kissed the door to heaven. And missed the blessing of eternal salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved friend, this morning, look at the truth here. The element of truth in this story. There was a blessing on the way. She's going back now. Ruth is a Gentile. The Bible said they lifted up their voice, wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her. And she said, my sister-in-law's gone back to her gods. Return after her. Now watch this. Not only, beloved, there was a blessing on the way, but look why it was on the way. There was a blessing that was coming because of Ruth's devotion. And Ruth said to her, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Let me say this morning. And thy God, with a big G and no S on the end of it, shall be my God, with a big G and no S on the end of it. Oh, thank God for a young lady that said, I've had enough of Moab. I want to go where the blessing is. I want to go to the house of bread. Beloved, listen. God blessed her because of it. The blessing not only was coming because of devotion, but the blessing in Ruth's life was coming because of determination. The Bible said in verse 18, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. There came a time in this conversation when Naomi realized she was wasting her breath talking to Ruth. That youngin's going where I'm going. Because she clave unto her. Now let me tell you something right now. It's a mistake to cleave unto a preacher. It's not a mistake to cleave unto your wife. The Bible said leave and cleave. And beloved, listen, because that's a picture of us, the bride of Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ, it's never a mistake to cleave unto the Lord. That's what the Word of God said they did in the book of Acts. They clave unto the Lord. You say, preacher, why should we stay close to Him? Because He'll never lead you wrong. He'll always tell you when to stay. He'll always tell you when to go. He'll always lead you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Beloved, here is a man. We see the element of truth in this family. There was a blessing that, but listen, not only was there a blessing that was on the way as they went back, but there was a burden in the way. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 19. Let me just say this. A lot of people have swallowed a lie from a lot of those TV evangelists that you can have all blessings without any burdens. That's not scriptural. That's not biblical. That's a lie out of hell. You study the men in the Bible and the women in the Bible that served God and walked with God, and beloved, there was always burdens in that way. I think some people, they think you're going to get married and have children and everything's going to be a bed of roses. And they realize by the time that youngin's 2 years old that there's something besides roses in the bed. Say amen. What's really bad is when you look down there at your son and you see your reflection. That's what's really bad. There was a burden. The Bible said here, so they went until they came to Bethlehem. It came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. Now the Bible said all the city. I just happen to believe that meant all the city. There was a crowd. And they gathered around. Here comes Naomi. And they said, is this Naomi? Now, let me ask you a question. Why do you think they said that? Could it be that her attire was not the same as it was when she left? Possible. Could it be, beloved, listen, that the burden that she was carrying and the shame that she was carrying and 10 years in Moab took such a toll on her life that it showed up in her face? I say, yes, that's entirely possible. Is this Naomi? I think the Bible could have just as easily said, this is Naomi. But they said, is this? Here's something our children, our young people need to understand. Sin has a price tag. Yes, there's forgiveness at Calvary. But I'm going to tell you something. There's consequences to sin. The Word of God said, is this Naomi? No doubt the 10 years had taken a toll in her spirit and in her appearance. And she said, call me not Naomi. That word means pleasant in the Hebrew. She said, don't call me pleasant, but call me Mara. That means bitter. I'm going to tell you why this message was birthed in my heart. Listen to me carefully. I heard a story in the last few days. Listen, this has nothing to do with since I've been here as pastor, nothing at all. But I heard a story about a family years ago that were active, loved the Lord, loved the church. And because of something that happened in the church, now they're no longer in church. Are you listening to me this morning? How many's listening to me this morning? And I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. You say, preacher, did they leave in the will of God? I don't think so, because the blessings didn't go with them. Let me tell you something, beloved. Listen. When we go, and it's because of God's leadership, God is leading us on to serve Him. I'm going to say this morning. It's free of charge. It won't cost you a dime. Some people leave a church because they don't want to be accountable. They can bounce like a ball from here to there to here to there to here to there, and they're not they don't join anywhere, they're not accountable anywhere, and they just would rather it be that way. I'm going to tell you something right now. God blesses the local church. I'm glad I'm a part of a local church. I'm glad I'm accountable. I don't know about you. I believe God knows that about all of us. We all need that. We all need that. Here's a time, and this the burden is great. But there's also a blessing that's hidden in this way. It's not really seen right now in this chapter. But I want you to notice the verse of Scripture in verse 22. Say, Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. The word of God said back in verse 21, Naomi said, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again. What's that next word? Empty. Now listen to me carefully. She thinks that she has nothing. There's several things that's evident to me. Number one, she still has a friend. She has one, beloved, she's blessed in that Ruth would not leave her. She clave unto her. She has a friend. She doesn't only have a friend in Ruth, but I believe it's evident when you read the rest of the book of Ruth, she had some friends in Judah. Say amen. You know what the devil will tell you? You ain't got a friend nowhere. That's what he'll tell you. I just want to tell the devil what a friend we have in Jesus. Somebody said one time, if you got that many real friends in the world, you are a blessed man. I said, either I've got more than that or I'm the biggest fool that ever walked in shoe leather. And I've been through some testing times, beloved, when that proved to be true. Thank God for our friends. Number two, she said she was empty, but she had food. Number three, she said she was empty, but she had fellowship. Number four, she said she was empty, but I'm going to tell you what, she had faith. You say, preacher, I don't see that. Well, let me just give you what the Lord showed me. Look over at chapter number 2, verse number 20 real quickly. The Bible said, and Naomi said, you understand in chapter number 2, Ruth went out. She's going to go to work. Oh, thank God for young people that will go to work. She said, you know what? We're not just going to sit here and depend on the government to feed us. I'm going to go out there in the field and see if I can't get something for us to eat. And she goes out there and she gleans. And she ends up in the field of Boaz. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Watch this now. There's a blessing. It's hidden. She doesn't know about it right now. But it's in her faith. In chapter 2 and verse number 20, and Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to his living and to the dead, to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Glory, glory, glory. How many can see Naomi perking up now? She's not talking now about being so empty. There's some hope down in her soul that the God of heaven is paying attention to where they're at and to what they need. And beloved friend, when you look at the Bible, there was a blessing that's hidden in this way. Naomi is now looking away from the hurt. Listen to me carefully. When she's looking at the hurt, she said, I went out full. I'm bitter. Don't call me Naomi. I come home empty. When she's looking at the hurt, it's negative, 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 negative. But honey, when she's looking at the hope, I'm telling you, it all turns around in her life. It don't matter where you go. There's some hurt to look at. It don't matter where you go. There's some hope. You think about what God's doing in these young people's lives. Maybe, is it Brother Pugh? It's not, is it? Tell me, brother. Brother Mike. Okay. Brother Mike may be a missionary. Who knows? Maybe a pastor. Maybe an evangelist. Brother Grizzle, do you think it's possible that God could raise up another Billy Mitchell? Church, do you think it's possible that God could raise up another Billy Sunday? I'm not talking about duplicating that ministry, but someone like them that would stand unashamedly and proclaim the truths of God's word. I tell you, do I go or do I stay? To stay or not to stay? I'm telling you, beloved, there's a lot at stake. There's a lot at stake. I believe there are times, listen to me carefully, when people's faith in their God is leading them. But I also believe there's times when people's flesh is leading them. If you're going to stay married long, you're going to have to learn how to say, I'm sorry. Somebody help me. Especially if you're a man. You say, why did you say that? Because we make all the mistakes. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. Right? The fuss is not too bad if you're looking forward to making up. Say amen. God wants us to see from the chapter. Naomi minded the Lord. She headed back to the house of bread. And because of that, Ruth is about to meet her kinsman redeemer. Think about that. One act of obedience brought blessing upon blessing. You read the rest of it. You know what's going to happen, don't you, in the end of the book? Naomi, the one that's empty, is going to get to hold Obed. You say, who's Obed? He's Jesse's daddy. You say, who's Jesse? He's David's daddy. She's going to get to hold the grandfather of King David in her arms. You can say whatever you want to, but I believe she's thinking, I'm glad I didn't stay in Moab. I believe she's thinking, thank God for forgiveness. Thank God he allows us to return. Hello, Brother Dan, I just saw you, buddy. How could you hide in this crowd? Amen. Amen. Good to see you, Brother Dan, and I mean that. Amen, Brother Dan. Amen. Was you saying amen to all them good things I was giving you to say amen to? Okay. That'll help you get something good to eat after a while. Amen. Amen. I believe if you study the book of Ruth, you'll see there's a God that's long-suffering. There's a God that's full of compassion. Do you know when churches and pastors really, I think, do their best is when the church realizes their pastor's not perfect, and when the pastor realizes his church is not perfect. But when we all realize we're headed that way, we're going to awake in the likeness of the Lord Jesus. Ain't that a blessing? I don't know, I don't claim to know what God's doing in this message. But to stay or not to stay. Brother Aaron, God's got his hand on you. I don't know how long Bible Way will get to keep Brother Aaron. Brother Kevin, God's got his hand on you. I don't know how long. God's got his hand on Colt. He ain't here this morning, but God's got his hand on him. I just thank God. God sent these men this way. We get to join for a little while, Brother Lance. But there'll come a day when he'll have to be right there with the Lord. Do I stay? Or do I go? Do I stay? Or do I go? What we ever want better be looking for is the Lord in that decision. Old preacher made a statement years ago. He said, never make major decisions with a broken decision maker. And I think that's exactly what happens sometimes. People's hearts are broken. Now listen to me. I'm not talking about, beloved, listen. Let's just say the church decides one day they want to go the modern way. Well, that's fine. just have to go without me. You want to put up strobe lights, say amen, and turn it into a dance hall, do it, but you'll do it without me. Say amen. I'll never lead this church in that direction. I'll never lead this church away from that King James Bible. I'll never lead this church away from the old time way. But I'll say this. There are legitimate reasons. Sometimes you have to go. Sometimes it's of the Lord. Sometimes it's not. How many believe that's the truth? If I'm not mistaken, I'd have to talk. I believe I heard Brother Cecil tell this, and if I'm mistaken, he can correct me if he hears this on the tape. But I believe there was a time when he left Tabernacle. Do you know about that, Brother Rose? When maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Brother Cecil's not the pastor, but a pastor resigned, and he hadn't even got to where he is going. And God said, buddy, you done blowed it. But you know what he was? He was man enough to turn around and go back and pick up the pieces and go on with God. Amen. To stay or not to stay. Ruth chapter number 1. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to be here with your people. Lord, I have had great liberty this morning to share this truth. Father, I hope, I pray that I can stay in your will till you come and get me. God, there's so much at stake. I pray, Father, that we'd realize, our Lord, that, Lord, our young people are precious. And God, that, Lord, they're going to have to make decisions along the way that are going to impact the rest of their lives. They're going back to school, and some of them, Lord, somebody's going to try to hand them some drugs. Somebody's going to try to get them to go to a party. They're going to try to pull them away, Lord, from the house of God, from the things of God. Lord, I pray you'd give them a backbone to stand for the truth of the Word of God, to stand, Lord, for the teachings that's been instilled in them. And God, when our young people miss it and when they mess up, God, please help them to know they don't have to keep going down that road. Lord, there's forgiveness at the foot of the cross. Lord, I pray for our homes, our marriages, Lord. As far as I know, Lord, I don't know of one that's in trouble right now. God, before the sun goes down, that could change. I pray, Lord, spare our homes. I pray, Lord, that our church would ever look to you and lean on you. Stay in that old time way, Lord. Help us, Father, this morning. There may be somebody here that's unsaved. And Lord, maybe they're thinking, well, someday, when God, you said now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. I pray, Lord, for that one that's drifted away. Lord, they know that their heart's cold and indifferent. I pray, dear Father, that you'd speak to them right now. Help them, our Lord. And God will give you glory. In Jesus' name.